Everybody say choices. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, one more time. Choices. I believe we're going to learn how to make some good choices today. Let me welcome our campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad you're there. At whatever campus you're at today, I know you've already had an exciting day. We're believing today that as we go in the Word of the Lord, that God's going to minister to you right there. So thanks for being with us today. Let me remind you, all of our campuses are going to be coming right here to the North Campus on October the 7th. That's our summit service. We do this a couple of times a year for those of you here at North Campus, those of you watching as well, and we want to invite you to be here at 7 o'clock that night. Pastor Jeff Butler, one of our longtime friends of this house and our ministry, is going to be with us preaching that night, as well as that's our 15th anniversary weekend, and we're looking forward to what's going to be happening. I can't believe it's been 15 years. We started with one family, and look what God's done in those 15 years. It's exciting, right? It's exciting to see what God has done. Would you take your Bible or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, and let's make our confession that we've been doing this year, okay? Would you say this with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And I do believe that every week when we go into the Word of the Lord, that it changes our lives and changes who we are. Would you take your Bibles or what? Again, whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, go to Jonah. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament is where we've been on this series about choices. Now, if you remember the first week, I told you that according to researchers who study our lives and intricacies of life on a daily basis, say that we make about 35,000 decision or choices every day. Now think about that. You are making choices. Some of you are making choices right now. I'm going to listen to that guy. I'm not going to listen to that guy. Come on, make the right one. Listen. All right, listen, listen, listen. Okay? There's all kind of choices that are being made. Some of you are trying to figure out where you're going to lunch in a little bit. And all kind of choices that are in our lives. Most of those choices really don't hold a whole lot. And you can, you know, do I wear red today or blue or purple? Somebody saw me before service and said, Pastor, you're kind of muted today. I don't have on the bright colors today, so I guess this is my conservative look today. And all those kind of things, it doesn't really matter. But there are certain choices in life that when we make them are going to really, really make a huge difference in where our life winds up. So we've been looking at the story of Jonah. We started the first week in the first chapter where God speaks to Jonah and he says to him, hey, I want you to go to this place called Nineveh and I want you to preach to them. I want you to tell them that I'm getting ready to destroy them. Jonah said, I've heard about them. They're really mean and I don't want to go. How many of you have ever not wanted to do what God told you to do? Right? And the rest of you, we'll get with you later. And all of us have had that moment. And so Jonah says, not going to Nineveh, I'm going to Tarshish. The Bible says he goes down to the sea, he goes down to a ship, he goes down into the belly of that ship. He just keeps going down, down, down. And you know the story, if you've been in Sunday school two or three times, you've probably seen it and heard it. And that is that a great storm arises because of Jonah's disobedience. And we find him in that moment, running away from God. And that's what we talked about, what happens in our lives when we run away from God. The first chapter ends with Jonah saying, if you'll just throw me overboard, God will protect all the rest of you. And they said, well, we really don't want to, but we don't want to die, so there you go. They threw him overboard. And last week we talked about, the scripture says that God had prepared a great fish, that when Jonah was cast overboard, that fish engulfed him and he went inside the belly of the fish. And we talked last week about being in over our heads. We talked about how that there are those circumstances that arise in life that we just get in over our head, and what do? And of course, last week again, we went through the process that happened in Jonah's life. We ended last week talking about there in the second chapter, right before the third chapter, where the scripture says, and I'm going to quote the Word of God, so don't get offended, that the Bible says, and the fish vomited Jonah out. Right? And there he is, clothes half eaten off, everything looks, his skin's all bleached out, all these kind of things. And so we're going to pick up today. We're talking about choices. And I want you to look in the first verse of the third chapter, and then we're going to be going through that third chapter today. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a... Everybody see that? Do you see that word? A second time. Then the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, came to Jonah a second time. Here's what I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about take two, okay? If you know anything about movie making or any of that kind of thing, you know that they'll shoot a scene, and it'll, to everybody else's eyes, it will look wonderful, but to the producer or whoever, he'll go, no, I don't like that, and they'll get the clicker out, and they'll go, click, take two. In other words, the scripture there, in fact, I believe, I don't know about you, that is one of the greatest scriptures in all the Bible, I think. No, okay, let me prompt you again. I think we forgot from last week. I give you really good places to say amen. That was one of them. How many of you have ever needed a second chance? A third? An 18th? A 429th, 5,983. Anybody with me? Come on, right? It's that whole aspect of where God shows up and God speaks to us the second time. And he gives us that whole aspect. I begin to think about second chances, and I looked up some things, and here's what some people said about second chances. John Wayne, the actor, said this. He said, a man deserves a second chance, but keep an eye on him. Right? Oprah Winfrey said this. She said, if you're still breathing, you have a second chance. I believe that. There's breath in your body. You still got a chance. This guy said this, and I'll tell you who it is. I think he violated his own principle. He said, if somebody is gracious enough to give me a second chance, I won't need a third. That was Pete Rose of the Cincinnati Reds. He needed... Ball players know what I'm talking about, okay? So there's this whole aspect of second chances. Now, let me say this to you, because I think so many of us get caught up in what people tell us about our past and tell us about the things of our past. Here's what I want you to understand. Your future is not determined by your past. Amen? Because people are always saying, well, if I'd just been born in this family, or if I had just been raised in this situation, or if I just had that break. Listen, I want to tell you, your future is not determined by your past, and don't let anybody tell you that it is. Your future is not determined by what you used to be. The Apostle Paul, writing one place, he said, he lists all the sins. I mean, he lists big sins, you know, those huge sins. And he goes through this whole list and this litany of sins, and he puts them all out there. And then here's what he says. He said, but such were some of you. But now you've been changed, now you've been cleansed, now you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just because I used to be that does not mean I am still that. Come on, people, you got to work with me. In that moment when we understand it, here's what you got to understand. Your future is determined by what you do with your second chance. What is it that's going to happen in this second voice when God speaks again? When God shows up a second time in your life and he speaks to you, or that third or that 48th or whatever, but when God speaks, what is it that you are doing in that moment to make sure that you are going to live the way God wants you to live? In fact, let me say it this way. Your past may be a mess, but your future is amazing. Amen. In fact, just look at your neighbor, and those of you watching, just look at your neighbor and say, your future is amazing. See, here's what we need to understand. Come on, get this morning. When you sow to the past, it depreciates. Don't miss this. When you sow to the future, it appreciates. All right? Let me prove it to you. If you've got unforgiveness, it means you're sowing to the past. And what does it do? Is that it depreciates you. It pulls you down. It keeps you from living the way God wants you to. You got somebody on your mind all the time. Listen, if you got unforgiveness, you got them on your mind all the time. And they're going on with life, and they're pulling you back. But if you release forgiveness to them, and you say, I'm going into my future. I have released them. I am forgetting those things which are behind. All of a sudden, things begin to come into your life where you can begin to live the way God wants you to live, right? I mean, hate pulls you back. It depreciates you. We live in a nation that right now is struggling with hate because of the difference in the races. I want everybody to look up here at me just a second. First of all of you know I'm African American. I'm just lighter. I was born in Africa. I'm African American. But I want you to understand, we all have a color. Do you understand why we hate somebody? We hate somebody or something because of the past. Right? And what's got to happen to us in America right now, and instead of tearing everything up and instead of coming against one another, the church has got to be the place where we come together in love and in unity. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. Amen. Now, we've got to understand that. We've got to come to that place where we're living not out of hatred, because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter which political party you're talking about, they can't fix it. In fact, they're not going to fix it. They're going to use it to their advantage, either one of them. So just go ahead, get mad at me. I don't care, because I'm telling the truth. Both parties are going to use whatever they can to leverage us against one another. But I am telling you, I refuse to sow hate because it depreciates. It takes away from me. I am going to sow love. I am going to sow kindness. I am going to sow joy so that our world can be made different. It's the church that's going to fix this mess. Amen. Let me show you this. Money sowed to the past. Let's use the word instead of the past. Money sowed to your debt depreciates by the time it gets to the principal. Think about it for a minute. You got $5,833 on credit cards and they're 20-something percent interest and you send the minimum payment. God love your heart. All right? $50. 33 cents goes towards the principal. Ask these bankers around here, they'll tell you, right? Why? Because as I sow to the past, I sow to my debts, then I am depreciating. But if I sow to the future, money sowed to the future, money that's an investment appreciates, it gets bigger, it gets greater, it's called compound interest, and it's a wonderful principle in our world. You know who thought it up? God. If you give to God, He's the ultimate future. Here's what He said about you giving to Him. He said, if you give to Him, He'll give it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will God give unto you. See, there's this whole understanding. We spend so much time back here in the mess, not understanding that every time I go back here, it takes away from me. I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul. He said, this one thing I do. He said, I'm going toward the mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. He said, there's a crown that's laid up for me and not for me only, but He said, for every one of us who are coming along after the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. Now, I got to quit preaching. Look in verse 2. I'm going to teach a little bit now. Calm down, Eddie. Man, this series is wearing me out. I'm preaching too hard in this series. Go to the great city. Here's God's word the second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. Don't you believe it? Jonah wishes he'd done that in chapter 1. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and 40 nights, and Nineveh will be destroyed. Now, here's what you have to understand. When God gives you a second chance, the reason He does is to fulfill our purpose. All right? Everybody here has a purpose. Amen? You're not just put on this earth to breathe somebody else's air and lay down one day and die. You have a purpose. God's called you for something great. He has placed His anointing upon your life. He told Jeremiah, He said, while you were still in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew your parts. I knew your being. And He said, I knew all of your days. So He knows there's a purpose that He has in our life. Now, here's what I want to tell you. I find fulfillment when I know what my purpose is. Okay? My fulfillment, like, listen, you can get a new car, and I promise you, next time you go to the mall or you go out to eat or you go to Walmart, especially if you go to Walmart, somebody's going to ding it up. Somebody's going to open their door into it, and if your fulfillment's in that car or that house or whatever, you're going to be in trouble. But I want you to know there's fulfillment that comes from knowing what my purpose is. What is my purpose on this earth? And I want to tell you, if you want to dig deep in it, Pastor Rick Warren from California has written the best book ever. In fact, it was a number one bestseller for about 2 years called About Your Purpose, about finding what your purpose is and living that out. And if you need to know what it is, get a hold of that book and let it come down into your spirit. Here's what you have to understand. Our greatest purpose is to fulfill our eternal destiny. Okay? Your greatest purpose is not to be a millionaire. Now, I want you to be a millionaire. I don't have a bit of problem with it. Amen? Somebody said, he's one of them prosperity preachers. You bet. I tried poor. Come on, anybody else tried poor and it wasn't fun, was it? I've been there. I've taken pennies to go to the gas station to get gas. That's not fun. It's a whole lot more fun to pull up and fill it up, right? Right? So come on. But what we have to understand is that my purpose is not my this, that, or the other. My purpose is what I'm doing that has eternal destiny on it, okay? Now, let me explain that to you. Here's what I know about those things that have eternal destiny wrapped up in them. Most of them don't have great fanfare wrapped around them. In other words, there's not all these people showing up, oh, watch them, they're doing things that have eternal consequences. No, the things of eternal destiny is like your prayer life. It's that whole aspect of train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It's taking those moments at night when that child goes to bed and saying, come on, little Johnny, little Sue, let's pray. Let's read the Word of God. Why? Because you're sowing in eternal destiny into those lives. Amen? Amen. Finding my purpose is about knowing why I'm here. All right? If I want to get that whole aspect, it's why am I here? Now don't say, well, I'm here because we're having church. I'm not talking about where you are at this moment. I'm talking about life in general, that we are here for a purpose, and we've got to find out what that purpose is. Now, look in verse 5 of chapter 3 there. He goes on to say, the Ninevites believed God, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Now, it's interesting to me how that when we get that second chance, we don't realize how many people it's going to impact. All right? Because I don't know about you. How many of you have ever found yourself being more concerned about yourself than everybody else? Right? Don't have to raise it real high. Just kind of do this. Okay? We've all been there. We all, you know, we're by nature, we're kind of wired that way. But what we have to understand is that when you begin to live out that second chance, that take two opportunity that God gives you, what happens in that moment is you begin to help others. See, there's when you have that crisis of the moment of the belly of the fish that Jonah went through, all of a sudden the entirety of your world, your worldview changes. Right, when you've been through the depth of the night, when you've been through the heartache of the soul, when you've been through the loss of everything, when you've gone through a disease that could have taken your life, when you found that marriage that didn't make it, when you started that business that went kaput, when you put your hope and your thought in something and it blew up, all of a sudden when that happens, there is an ability to step back from life and to look down at it, and all of a sudden you begin to realize that there are some things that don't matter anymore. See, we've got to come to that place where we understand that God's called us to help others, every one of us. In fact, let me say it this way, God is more concerned about people than anything else, right? And churches need to get a hold of that real good. All right? Churches spend way too much time on too many things that God really is not that concerned about. Churches spend too much time on telling people what's wrong with them, how bad they are, how horrible they are, how much sin they committed. Well, I want to tell you, every time I sin, I don't have to have anybody come tell me I sinned. I know I've sinned. What I need is somebody to show up and say, there is a God who cares about you and who sent His only begotten Son to die for you so you could be saved. See, I need to know the people relationship that God has with mankind. So God's more concerned about people than He is anything else. But here's what I have found out about people. God sometimes assigns us a difficult task. Right? Jonah is sent, and let me understand how I use this term. Jonah is sent to a heathen city. What I mean by that is these people did not believe in Jehovah God, so they were heathen. And Jonah is sent there, and it's a tough call to go to people who don't want you there. How many of you have ever had to deal with people? Right? Have you ever had some people that just... I'm being good, Lord. My mind's going places, but I'm being good. You know, they just get on your last nerve, right? The best thing I can say for them is that they are EGRs. You say, what is an EGR? An EGR just means extra grace required. And sometimes God gives us one of those assignments. He says, I want you to love on them. You go, them? Come on, Lord. And yet, what we find is that if we will do what God tells us to do, God's got something. In fact, the Bible says that when He began, do you realize, for years I heard it preached that Jonah went to Nineveh and he said, repent or God's going to destroy you. And yet, when you study Scripture, it does not say repent. He just showed up and said, in 40 days and 49, God's wiping you guys out. Right? And yet, the Word of God says that as soon as he started preaching that, the people started repenting. They turned their hearts toward God, and they said, you know what? We better start praying. We better take this man serious. Here's what we have to understand. Even in those difficult situations, God always starts working before you ever get there. All right? Before you ever show up, God's already at work. Let me prove it to you. How many of you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac in Scripture, where God speaks to Abraham and he says, I want you to take your son. He said, oh yeah, by the way, your only son, Isaac. And he said, I want you to take him to the place that I'm going to show you. And he said, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. And the Bible says they go on a three-day journey. They get to a mountain. God says, this is it. And Abraham says this. Abraham makes a statement of faith. He says to his servants, he said, I and the lad will go yonder. He's a southerner. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we, what's the faith, and we will return to you. They go up to the mountain. They get up there. Now, we talk about the faith of Abraham. Let me talk about the faith of Isaac. You ready? Isaac is in his teenage years, possibly in his 20s. He could have took the old man. And yet, Isaac lays down on the altar because he has faith in God, because his father has taught him that God is the God who makes promises and he does not change them. The Bible says Abraham lifts up the knife. You know the story. And the Scripture says an angel grabs him by the arm and says, do not offer your son. There's a ram in the thicket. Look over there and go get it. Here's what I want to tell you that happened. The day that Abraham started out to that mountain, God sent a ram up the other side. And by the time they got together up there by doing what God said and being obedient, God already had a ram there. Before you ever start what God tells you to start, He has already sent an answer before you ever got there. Look at verse 6. We'll hurry. Verse 6 through 9, it says this. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king of his nobles, do not let people or animals, I mean, think about that, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let the people and the animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, he said, God may yet repent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger, so that we will not perish. Now watch this. When you are given that second chance, when you're given that take two moment in your life, when it happens for you, what's going to happen is you're going to make a difference in somebody else's life. When you do what God has told you to do, you're going to make a difference in somebody else's life. See, we're always waiting for some big movement to take place. And yet God always uses one. Right? I mean, study the scripture. He'll show up and he'll call one person. He'll call a Gideon who's over in the threshing floor and in the wine press threshing out wheat. And he'll say, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon looks around and goes, "Who, me?" Right? And yet God uses one man. In the world today, there are people who are being used. We don't even know their name. Let me just give you a few. There's a guy named Maurice Ralph Hillman. Most people have never heard his name, but watch this. He developed 36 vaccines. Out of those vaccines, they have saved more lives than any medical scientist that's ever been. In fact, some of you sitting here today don't even know his name, and he saved your life. There's another guy named Chuck Feeney. Chuck Feeney is the guy who, if you've ever been in an airport and seen a duty-free shop, he's one of the ones who started the duty-free shops. He became a billionaire within just a few years. He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "I've got to make a difference in people's lives." He said, "I can't just take this money." He said, "You know, you can only spend so much money. When you hit billions, that's enough, okay?" And he said, "I'm going to make a difference." And here's what he's done. He has, of his own money, he has spent $6.2 billion and given it to education, to science, to healthcare, and other things throughout our nation and throughout the world. One man, one person made this difference. We're waiting for somebody to come along, and God said, "You're the one." There's another guy in Australia. His name is James Harrison. He is called the man with the golden arm. Now, when we hear that, we think, man, he must be a quarterback or he must be a star pitcher. No, what he is, he's a plasma donor. There is something in his body that is a treatment for a disease that babies get called rhesus disease. This one man by himself, by donating plasma, has saved, listen to me, 2 million babies has been saved by one man making a difference. See, when God gives us that second chance, He wants us to do something with it. In fact, here's what I want to tell you. People who make a difference are fat. I saw heads. I wish they could see. I saw heads go, "What?" They're fat. F-A-T, fat. You say, "Pastor, I've been waiting for years for you to tell me it's okay." Let me break it down. They're faithful. They just show up. They do what they're supposed to do. When God finally gives them that second chance, they say, "I'm not going to miss it this time." They're available. They're not waiting. You know, I meet people all the time, and they say, "Well, that's not my gift." Listen, I do a lot of things that aren't my gift. I'm just available. Lord, if you can use anybody, use me, right? So they're faithful, they're available, and lastly, they're teachable. Oh, God, give us some people who are teachable in the kingdom of God, who haven't learned it all yet, who haven't got it all together, but who are still just hungry to say, "Lord, teach us a little more. Give us some more in our lives." And those people are the ones God says, "I can use you. I can do great things through you if you're that kind of person." Look in verse 10, and we'll wrap this up. It says, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." See, here's what happens. When you and I show up for that second opportunity, when you and I say, "You know what, I blew it back here, I blew it over there, I blew it back there, I blew it over there. In fact, let's just not talk about it." When we come to that place in that moment where we finally step back up and say, "You know what, I refuse to stay in my failure." Listen, the only people that aren't failing are 6 feet under. I've had people come to me and say, "Why don't you write a book on how to grow churches?" And I said, "I don't know how." "Well, you've had this and you've had this." I go, "I can write a book on how not to grow a church, because I got hundreds of things we've tried in 36 years or 38 years, whatever, 36 years a minute. I got all kind of stuff I've tried that didn't work. But you know what? If that don't work, we'll try this.
If you were in here a while ago with us and you thought the glory cloud was coming in, the haze machine stuck. We keep going. We just say, that's the glory. Y'all just need to participate in it. So you got to come to that place of understanding. Here's what happens when you step into what God has for you in that second chance, is that then God is able to show His compassion. He's able to show up in that moment and say, here's what I was going to do. We all know God is love, don't we? And God loves everyone, and He loves to show compassion. In fact, let me say this to you. I hope everybody goes to heaven. Boy, I get Christians looking at me when I say that. I can't believe. Bless God, I have lived for Jesus. And if I get to heaven, and there are people there who didn't do like I do, listen, if I get there and everybody's there, I'm not going to ask for a refund. Right? When He says smoking or non-smoking, I'm going non-smoking all the way, people. Right? So I'm the guy who would love to say everybody's going to be saved. I'd love to believe that. Why? You know why I do that? When we know what God has done for us, we'll expect the same for others. Now, please don't walk out of here and misquote what I've said. I know what the Scripture says. But I also know that I've got to love other people because God loves other people. And I've got to live with a heart that's open to the Lord. And I've got to come to that place where on a daily basis, I'm allowing the compassion of God to flow through me because I know what God has done for me. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and the Lord loved me enough to save me. And not only did He love me enough to save me, He's loved me enough to keep me saved all these years. And I'm so thankful for that. And so let me wrap it up today. Let me say this to you. First of all, you have to understand failure is not final. Did you hear me? Failure is not final. So many of us look at those failures and we feel like, oh, it's just messed my life up and it's never... No, come on, people. Failure is not final. Secondly, bad decisions can be redeemed. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times, but they get back up. They arise again. Let me say this to some of you. Some of us have allowed some bad decisions to bring some bad things to our lives. And yet, what we need to come to today is to understand this. In the moment that you are at, what are you going to do? Are you going to sow to your past and see it depreciate, or are you going to sow to the future? Well, Pastor, you just got to understand that after what I've been through, I'm never going to trust anybody again. Are you going to sow to the past because somebody divorced you? And you're going to let that person, are y'all okay? You're going to let that person who, unless you pray a lot, you hate them. You're going to let them dictate what your future is going to be? Are you kidding me? Let them go. Let them go. Release them out of your life. Don't allow something or someone from your past that there's been something that has happened that was catastrophic and it was horrible and you've gone through that and now you're living life with rear view looking all the time and you're always looking back. No. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, I look toward the mark of the high calling. He said, I'm going forward. I'm not going to be hung up back here. My challenge to you today is please don't allow bad decisions to remain unredeemed. Let God show up. Remember when Joseph's brothers showed up and they sold him into slavery and Joseph said, that which you meant for evil, God meant for good. God can take a bad decision. Jonah, you made a bad decision. You didn't do what God told you to do. You have gone through a whale of an experience, Jonah. Come on, I worked on that all week long. You should have laughed better. But now God is able to redeem what you have done. Lastly is this, the future is up to me. Can I say this to some of you today? Some of you have got to quit living in the past. Some of us have spent so much time talking about things that happened. Man, well, Pastor, you don't understand. My father wasn't there. Well, and I'm not trying to be rude. Please go with me for a minute, okay? Because I'm trying to help us. Your father wasn't there. And that's not going to change. Well, my mother didn't love me. That's not that you can't fix it. Y'all okay? Especially for those of us, you know, who your parents maybe have already died. You just don't understand, because if you had experienced what I have, you're just sowing to depreciating returns. You're living out of fear. You're living back there somewhere where the enemy comes in to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, that's not what I've come to do. John 10:10. He said, I've come that you would have life, and you would have that life more abundantly. Here's the deal, and I'm done. God shows up today in your life again. A second chance, another time, a take-two moment where God is showing up and he's saying to you, listen, I want you to know I'm here today. And some of you who are listening to me and some of you who are watching at our campuses today, you need to come to that moment today of saying, you know what, I am ready to make a decision to give my life to Jesus Christ. I no longer am going to continue to live in the excuses of the past or the hurt of yesterday, but I am coming today and I'm going to forget all that junk that's back there. Jesus Christ has already paid the price for my forgiveness, and I am going to receive his grace today, and I'm going to walk out of this place today, and I am going to have another chance to make a difference in my future and in somebody else's life because of what God is going to do in me today. And so all week long we've been praying for you. We've been asking God to prepare your heart that for this moment that you would be ready to receive his grace and his forgiveness.